Yeah, if you believe in God, you got to believe in miracles. Amen. We see them all the time. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I sure appreciate our church. And Linda and I talk about this a lot. We love everybody here. It's a happy family. Amen. And we come to church and we do learn from the scripture how to live our own life, but we learn how to be a blessing to other people too. And that's good. 1 Samuel, it's an interesting story. We'll read quite a few verses here. 1 Samuel chapter 30. This is about King David, and Saul was trying to kill him and all the things that were going on. We won't go into all the story. But we'll begin reading in verse 1, 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men had come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. They were out fighting. They were out in battle. They come back to the city where their wives and their children are. They see the smoke from a distance, and they find out that everybody's been taken captive. It says, their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now that's a real broken heart. I'm sure we have all wept sometimes in our lives over burdens and heartaches, but when you weep until you have no more power to weep, that is really spending yourself. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It's amazing when people get down, how the blame goes everywhere and how the anger comes out. I was talking to a counselor one time and he said, anger is the result of another emotion. And this, obviously, they were so grieved. And they spake of stoning David. He was the leader. I guess I'm bringing that out today so you don't stone me. Amen. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's a blessing. That's what he did. And it says, and David, well, let's see. Let's go down. We'll continue reading. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. That's what God told him. Do we go after the enemy and restore our families? What do we do? And God says, do that and you'll recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. They had just come from battle. He's got 600 very dedicated men, dedicated to the cause. And 400 went with him. They continued on to restore everything. But 200 were so faint from the battles before that they could not go on. And so we drop down to verse 18. The Bible says, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons or daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had been taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. So they recovered everything. Now, kind of get this picture. Verse 21. And David came to the 200, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not down with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then David said, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as for his part, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, they shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Boy, that is a great truth. Some people have a heart to do something, they just don't have the strength to do it. And sometimes the battles are so intense, spiritual battles in our life, that we just need to rest by the brook and gain some strength so that we can be ready for the next battle. And that's where the strong maybe one day go out and fight the battle, they come back, but we all part alike, amen, because it's all the cause. And I want to speak on that today. Father, bless your word. We so depend on your help now, not only to speak, but to hear. May our hearts and minds be receptive to these truths so that we might be a blessing to other people. And that, God, other people might be a blessing to us in your cause. Help us now, in Jesus' precious name, amen. That's a great story, and David, it says, encouraged himself in the Lord. Encouragement is a great word. The definition means to give courage, encourage, to give or increase confidence of success, to inspire with courage, spirit, strength of mind, to embolden, to animate, to incite, to inspirit. I mean, all of these are good things. When you encourage somebody, it's really giving them strength. It's giving them help. Encourage is to give courage. Discourage, on the other hand, is to take courage away. Discourage. And it's like accord, that's together. Discord, that's the bad word, okay? So in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Moses, or chapter 3 in verse 28, Moses is about done with his ministry. Joshua is going to be the new leader. And so Moses says, but charge Joshua to the people and encourage him and strengthen him, and he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land that thou shalt see. Sometimes you're just not up to the task. Sometimes it's time for somebody else to do that task. And that's what the Bible is talking about here. Moses' time was over. And so here's Joshua, and he says, encourage him, because he's stepping into these shoes and he's going to do a work for God. Sometimes you just have to hand the baton over to somebody else. Isaiah 41, verse 6. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. That's good. Amen. That's what we ought to do, because this is a spiritual battle. And we want to encourage each other in that battle, because we can be victorious. It says, so the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. So they encouraged one another, because some people weren't talented, or they didn't have the capacity to do certain jobs. Amen? So this one did what he was good at, and this one did what he was good at. But this one couldn't do what this one was good at. So he encouraged him in his work. We're all different. Amen? We're all different. We have different skills. But everyone can encourage the other who has the skill to do a certain thing. I remember when we had our preachers' meeting in Sturgis, and I've mentioned this many times, but I like to get it on a message, if it's a particular message. But for over 25 years, every year we would have that, and the meeting grew so much that we would have 50 preachers there and part of their congregation, and it was a blessing. But you had very young preachers, pastors, who just started pastoring, and you had pastors that had been in the work for years and years and years and years. And sometimes we would have a younger pastor speak. It was always refreshing, and it was a real thrill. Amen. But many, many times the older pastors that gained so much wisdom with the years spoke. And they encouraged the young ones to be faithful. And they gave messages because the whole theme of our meeting was encouragement. That's what we asked everybody to preach on. It was a great, great meeting, and it helped a lot of people. In 1 Samuel 30 and verse 24, David said, "But as his part that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." Not everyone has the skill. Not everyone has the strength. And so God will reward according to the desire, not the capability. Amen? So we work together for that. David's story is interesting. He was in the will of God. He was falsely accused by Saul. Saul wanted to destroy him because he was jealous of him. David always did the right thing there. He wouldn't take revenge on Saul. You're familiar with that story. And so David is out fighting. He's coming back now to the city. See the smoke, realize that their families are taken. Now, all the men that were with him are saying, "We're going to stone you, David." I don't know how that came about, but there was a real friction there and a real discord there. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And it's interesting, just because of that, they recovered everything. Amen? Sometimes things look really bad, and just be faithful to the Lord. There's three statements in the Bible that are very important. Their instruction to us: be of good courage, be of good comfort, and be of good cheer. They are stated over and over, and you can read the context, look that up in your concordance, and see the context of all of those. Courage, comfort, and cheer. That's what God wants to give us. That's what he uses other people to help us with. Sometimes we lose courage. Sometimes we lose comfort or confidence. And sometimes we lose cheer, don't we? We're not cheerful the way we need to be. So how do you get there? Where does that all come from? Wouldn't it be nice if we get a message from God today? Be of good cheer, be of good comfort, be of good courage. And we get the message and we get the formula. Amen? And we trust God with it, and then he helps us with it as we leave this place. That's the whole idea of preaching and teaching. In Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, here's a qualification: ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Somebody's overtaken in a fault, spiritual person tries to help them, tries to restore them, considering their own self. It's not a haughty thing. It's not a, "Boy, here we go again. I got to help this guy out or this lady out." It's something where we consider, "Well, I've been through that, and I know what an encouragement it was when somebody helped me out." 2 Corinthians 1:4, the God of all comfort, verse 3, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You have to have the comfort of God to give that comfort. Amen? You have to experience the mercy of God to be merciful. All of those things go together. There was an old statement, I don't know who said it, but troubled people trouble people. And discouraged people discourage people. And so we want to heal something in all of us, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted, so we can be used of God to be a blessing to other people. We be not able. Remember that? Remember that statement? Who said that statement? The 10 spies, or the 10 spies that came in from spying out the land. And they said, "We're not able to do this." And guess what? They discouraged the whole group. We be not able. Here in our text, let's stone David. You know? I mean, if we weren't out fighting this battle, we'd have been there to defend the city. And so now our families are all gone, and our substance is all gone, all because David wanted to fight this battle. We want to stone David. The third one: you brought us, and I think we'll read a verse on this a little bit later, but Moses, you brought us out in the wilderness to die, didn't you? You're not the deliverer we thought you were. And, you know, we went through the plagues and finally crossed the Red Sea, and now we don't have anything to eat. The water's bitter at Marah, you know? And no matter what miracles they were griping. So would you bring us out in the wilderness to die for? Deuteronomy 1:28. As a matter of fact, I'll read a couple verses around that. Let me see where I'll start. Verse 26. Notwithstanding, this is the history of Israel. This is Moses bringing this out. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the Amalekites, or the Anakims there. In other words, it ain't going to work. Amen. It just ain't going to work. And one message of discouragement went to another. And I think we ought to see the results of that. That was terrible results. There's a song. I forget what page it is in our hymnal. I think it's around 212. But it goes something like this. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. That's a Christian hymn right there. And the skies are not cloudy all day, where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Here, let me give you the causes of discouragement and see, biblically, and see if you agree with these or see if this affects you. The sermon's too long. No, I'm not going to do that one. The hardness of the way. When life gets tough. Numbers 21:4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Because of the way. Much discouraged. Life does get hard. The difficulty of the task. In Nehemiah, and you don't have to turn there, I'll just read some verses here. But in Nehemiah, they're back in Jerusalem, and they're rebuilding the walls. They've come out of captivity, the 70-year captivity. They're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They're back in their land. And so there's all this rubbish. I mean, the city had been destroyed. And we start reading in verse 6. The people had a mind to work. Verse 9, we made prayer unto our God. Verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, and we are not able to build the wall. Look at this. The whole city's a mess. The wall's broken down. I know we're back here, but we're not able to build the wall. Well, that's what God sent him back to do. Amen? And, well, there was an enemy. If you read chapter 6, there's this enemy that comes 6 times to put them in fear. Because fear would cripple. Fear does cripple. But here they can't build the wall. Nehemiah comes, and the Bible says he saw more at night than everybody saw during the daytime. And he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a trowel and a sword, and we're going to work, and we're going to battle the enemy. And guess what they did? They built the wall. Amen? They built the wall. And there were those that were naysayers saying you can't do it. How about the prosperity of the wicked? Psalm 73. It says, As for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, when I looked at the prosperity of the wicked. And I said, man, why can't I have that? I don't know if you've ever said that. I've said it before, and the Lord will kind of catch you, amen? And he'll say, like he said to David, well, David, you have me. You're going to live eternally. You're going to be in heaven one day, amen? And so God encourages us to see our future, not our present. He encourages us to see how he's right there beside us and how he can help us rather than seeing the enemy. Here's the nation, and they're coming out of Egyptian bondage, and they say, they see the horses. They hear the chariots. They couldn't see that God would part the waters. But when he did, that must have been a big day. Amen? God delivered them. The prosperity of the wicked. The delay in the fulfillment of desires. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. And I've been praying about this for a long time, and it's just not happening. And my hope is gone that it ever will happen. You just keep on praying. There's a song like that. Just keep on praying. Well, the rest of it is that just keep on praying. But let's pick some fruit, because the tree of life is important. From the tree of life. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Be of good courage, be of good comfort, and be of good cheer. Courage, comfort, and cheer. There's fact, faith, and feeling. Psalm 27:14. Here's good advice. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Just wait. It says that it shall be, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So, that's how you get courage. You wait on the Lord. You have 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's a blessing. Amen. You take the word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. They were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So here we have cheer. Acts chapter 27, Paul is on a ship, and there's a bad storm, and the ship is going to go down. Everybody thinks that. Paul's down inside the ship. Don't you hate positive people sometimes? You know, will you just leave me alone and let me be discouraged? I just don't feel like getting encouraged today. And here, they all think they're going to die. Everybody thinks they're going to die. And Paul comes up and says, be of good cheer. I mean, I can't imagine what they wanted to do to him. Amen? Be of good cheer. Pitch him overboard. But he says, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. If we stop the verse right there, we have the Bible. Amen? No matter what it looks like, we can encourage people, help people through whatever, comfort people. Encouragement, that is so important. And it says that there will be no loss of life. And it happened exactly the way Paul said that. But what if that doesn't do any good? Well, people have tried to encourage me, and I'm just not going to be encouraged. They're just not allowing me to be encouraged. Maybe for whatever reason. But when that doesn't do any good, here's the answer. Amen. And I'm going to dwell on that a little bit too, but here's the answer. Matthew 14:27. But straightway Jesus said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Do you know that text? Do you know what was going on there? The disciples are on a boat. It's dark. There's a storm. And somebody's walking on the water towards them. And they thought it was a spirit. And Jesus says, be not afraid, it is I. Be not afraid, it's me. Sometimes we look at something and we don't recognize that it's God at work. He is at work. Amen. And we say, boy, what is this? And there's fear that arises. Every circumstance, he wants to be there with us. And he comes to meet our need. And I think that's so important. But Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, he said to a person that was very ill, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. That's a blessing. Amen. We could talk about that. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Three times, Jesus, in difficult situations, says to us, be of good cheer. That's where we get that. Amen? Sometimes people can't cheer you up. But the Lord and his word and his providence, and when we mix faith with that, we can see that, how that we can be encouraged by that. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Amen? Buddy smiling? Merry heart, cheerful countenance. Smile. A merry heart, really, it does make a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's good. Be of good cheer, because God knows that's like a medicine. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Somebody said, godly encouragement is fuel for the soul. I would rather be encouraged by somebody than discouraged by somebody. It doesn't mean you can never receive a reproof or a correction, but there is a difference. Godly encouragement is fuel for the soul. It's a gift that brings hope, that helps us see new possibilities and gain energy to keep going when things are tough. Amen? So it's good to encourage one another. But what if that doesn't help? Ecclesiastes 4:10. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. We need people. We need encouraging people. If you get the wrong voice all the time, it's going to lead to the wrong feeling, the wrong attitude. And so we need people to encourage us. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. How does he do that? You ever get discouraged? How did you get encouraged? Who encouraged you? Did God? Because nobody else could? Or nobody knows the trouble I've seen? Nobody knows but Jesus, the old spiritual song. And sometimes there's something that you've never shared with anybody, but you can share it with God. Amen? And when nobody else feels what you're going through or has experienced what you're going through, it's easy to give advice. Amen? And when we've not been through what that person is through, we can't even comprehend what they're going through. But there's one in the heavens that can do that for us. Love is worthless unless it acts out, unless it's expressed in deed and behavior. David Jeremiah said that. Love is worthless unless it acts out, unless it's expressed in deed and behavior. One of those behaviors, one of those deeds is to encourage other people. Hebrews 13:3, remember them that are in bonds as being bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Empathy is a good thing. Sympathy is a good thing. We help other people. 1 Corinthians 13, we find out what charity is. And a lot of that is ministering to other people, being long-suffering. But we're to remember those that have trials and tribulations. Matthew 25, remember Jesus said to the disciples, as much as ye had done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so when we encourage or help or pray or meet a need of somebody in need, we're doing that for the Lord, and we're doing it as unto the Lord. We all get discouraged. I mean, there is no question about that. And so we all need encouragement. Amen? And so God says, be of good cheer. He says, be of good courage. He says, be of good comfort. And we find the message all around those statements, how that God can allow that to happen. There's a song we sing, Rescue the Perishing, and one of the verses says this. Tremendous, tremendous truth. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter. Man. You know, as you read the Psalms, you see principles like that all the time. Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I'm just overwhelmed. And how does that happen? Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Touched by a loving heart. Isn't that good? Wakened by kindness. In Mark chapter 5, and we sang as our chorus today about all who come behind us if they find us faithful. Your life is an encouragement to people. The trial that you've been through and came through now, or are coming through, is an encouragement to those that come behind. Amen? And so we look at that, and we read about Christians that have gone through things and how they've trusted the Lord through, or the struggles they've had, and how they've come out on the other side. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story about a maniac, and he lived in Gadara, and the Lord came to the coast, And this man was really a troubled man. He was filled with devils. He cut himself. They chained him and he broke the chains. He lived among the tombs. He cried. He screamed. Everybody was afraid of him. And Jesus came. That's a pretty sad person in real trouble. Well, yeah, I'm out of here. I don't want nothing to do with them. I'm going the other direction. We've already tried this and this didn't work. And we chained him and we warned all our kids about him, you know. But Jesus came to where he was. And Jesus cast the devils out. Amen. And the Bible says that this man was now clothed, sitting before Jesus, and in his right mind. If he would have been neglected over and over and over and over and over, he would have stayed the way he was. And nobody else could do something for him, but Jesus could. Now you take this man, and he wants to follow the Lord. Wherever you go, I'm going. That would make sense, wouldn't it? Somebody help you that much. And Jesus says, no, go home. Just go home. Show your family what happened. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. We all have discouragements. Maybe some are stronger for one than another. Amen. We have trials. We have tribulations. But we're trying to do the right thing to honor God and to help other people. I think that's so important. Turn your Bible to Psalm 37, and we'll get into the message today. Have a testimony for the Lord. My wife, against my permission, carries around a picture of me from way long time ago. And I remember we had a bus route in South Chicago. I don't know if you're familiar with Chicago. South Chicago is a rough, rough place. And we had a bus route, and we'd have 80, 90 kids on that bus bringing them to Sunday school. But there were gangs in Chicago. Two of the young boys that were on our bus route had taken another boy that was on our bus route, tied his hands behind his back, threw him off a bridge. And he died. He drowned. Those kids rode our bus. We've had two different gangs, two different factions on our bus. And I mean, it's really crazy. It was really crazy. But we never had any fight on the bus or anything like that. But my wife carried this picture of me. Because here I am. I'm going to Bible college. I'm singing Christian songs to them and talking to them on the way. It was an hour ride to church. And they're saying, what in the world does he know about what we're going through? And she'd pull out this picture. And she says, well, this is what he used to be. And that affected those kids. And, you know, maybe you've been trying to reach somebody or be a help to somebody for years. Don't give up. Don't you give up. You just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. So we need to be encouraged in that. But a testimony is a great, great thing. In 1 Corinthians 12, I think it's verse 4 or 14, but when one member suffers, all the members suffer. When one member is blessed, all the members are blessed. We have a church. And sometimes we're up. And some. Do you ever come to church just encouraged? You say, well, no, I've never been encouraged. Well, yes, you have. You ever come to church discouraged? You ever come with a heavy heart? You ever try and hide that you've got a heavy heart? Yeah, we all do, you know. Whether it's in the pulpit, it's in the pew, wherever it is, those we experience. What we ought to receive when we come to church is healing, help, God ministering to us. Whether it's just Him and the Word and nobody else knows, or whether it's a smile, whether it's a handshake, whether it's, what was this? Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness. Just a kindness. Look at Psalm 37. Just read a couple verses and then we'll be done. Mark, verse 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. And so we see that picture there, the end of the righteous, the end of the wicked. But look with me at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God is able to do that whether you have any human comfort or not. Whether you have anybody that understands or not, God can hold you up. But I'll guarantee you there's other people out there that have been through your trial, that know your heartache, and their ministry from the Lord is to be a blessing to you. Amen? Maybe you're one of the 400 that went out to the battle, and boy, how come these people aren't? Maybe they just can't. Maybe they're just wore out. And you need to allow them to be encouraged so that when the battle comes again, they may be able to help. Amen? I think it's so important to encourage one another. It's so easy to do, too, isn't it? You just tell people you love them. Be nice. Be kind. It goes a long way. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for encouraging us. Maybe when nobody else understands. Thank you for all these Bible stories, these pictures, these scriptures, these truths. May we be of good courage today. May we be of good comfort, and may we be of good cheer. And if we're not, Lord, encourage us and help us to be a blessing to someone else. Thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.